This is Earl Mann, June 6, 1990. I'm recording with Lawrence Galletta here on Ludlow Street in Greendale for the Dearborn County History Local Oral History Project. Lawrence, just tell us a little bit about your childhood life in Lawrenceburg and what we were talking about here a little bit ago.
The one thing that I mentioned to this historical society before, when I was going to school, about 1902, I went to the public school. And about 1903, they put their new high school building, added on to the old school on Short Street. And while I was under construction, this class, first and second grade, went to school on Charlotta and Center Street, a little brick on that corner, two-room brick. My teachers at that time was the first grade, Alba Dorn, second grade, Anna Ingalls, that's to my knowledge. And I went to school there for the two grades, and in the meantime, they were building the new high school building, which is added on to the regular school, which was a three-story building. I mentioned this to the Historical Society, but they can never find any information on that. Get nothing on it, but it is a fact that it did have a two-room school there in that building, and I went to it for 2 years, in 1903 and 1904.
Tell us when you were born, and maybe your parents' names, if you...
My parents?
Yeah.
My parents, they were buried here in Greendale. My mother's name is Bernadette, and my father's name is Xavier. They called him John.
And you were born when?
I was born December 2nd, 1896 in Cincinnati, 6th and Central. Came to Lawrenceburg in December 1898. And I'm stuck.
What about life after you got out of high school? What was your life like then and around Lawrenceburg right after high school?
Well, my father, when we came here, we started in the produce business, and when I got out of high school, I saw the opportunities there, so I followed it up. At that time, that's where I bought this truck, and I started wholesaling. And I supplied the groceries in Lawrenceburg and Aurora, supplied the groceries with it. And that went on to about 1923, 1924, when Kroger came in town, A&P came into town. They got all the cash business, the other stores got the credit business, and they soon went out of business. Well, that put me out of business.
And you bought this truck and started what year?
1917. Then, in 1926, I bought Paper Route. I operated the Paper Route from 1926 to 1938. As the Cincinnati Enquirer and the Cincinnati Times Star, and the paper route for the town. After that, 1938, the price of everything started going up, and my profits were going down, and I wasn't getting the margin of profit in comparison with the rise of everything, so I got out of that paper route. Went to work at Shenley, and I stayed in 1939, and I stayed with Shenley to 1954.
Going back to your produce business, what were some of the favorite product, the vegetables?
All vegetables and fruits.
Fresh vegetables?
Everything fresh, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the fresh fruits? Did you have those year-round, or how'd you get those?
Whatever was available at the time.
Locally?
Yeah. I'd go to Cincinnati to these commission houses where I'd buy my stuff.
Did they bring quite a bit of produce in from other parts of the country, like the South or the West?
They would from Florida, California, but not like they are today. And today's coming from Chile. All this stuff to get today at this time of the year is all from Chile. And we didn't have that in those days. Everything's California, Texas, or Florida.
Can you tell us some of the groceries that you sold to, some of the retailers?
Well, that...
Say Lawrenceburg.
Here in Lawrenceburg, like John Bobrink, on the corner of 3rd and Main Street. Willard's Grocery was an old timer. They was in business a long time also on High Street. Schleiger on Walnut Street, next to where the Star Bank is now. And a fellow by the name of Walter Lips is across the street from Schleiger. Homer Stockman on High Street. George McGranahan on High Street. Elmer Haversack over on Margaret Street behind the school. And there's a grocery in Greendale that changed hands several times during my time. First one I knew there was a fellow named Rupert. And Harry Kern went in there with the grocery. And George Dietrich went in there with the grocery. So, and Harry Hayes, he had a grocery in Homestead.
How about some of those in Aurora?
Well, Stagwall on George Street as you went into Aurora, and Dick Clore, they're both about a square apart, as on that street as you went into Aurora. And they call him Everett, they call him Dab Everett, run a grocery there where Shuck's plumbing store is now. That's on 2nd and Main Street. At that time, Tinney's were over on, I think that's Judiciary, isn't it? I don't know.
I don't know.
And Peter's, Happy Peter's dad, had a grocery out in, as you went to Rising Sun.
Did you deliver to
Snyder? Had a grocery in Cochran. And fell down a square below that. I can't think of his name.
Did you deliver on down to Rising Sun and Hillsboro?
No, that's 2-4. 2-4, and when there wasn't enough business down there for it. Could have got some business, but not enough to justify.
Did you use the same truck all of this time?
No. I wore out 2 trucks. Yeah.
Okay, Lawrence, you're one of the few remaining World War I veterans here in this area. Tell us a little bit about your entry into World War I and what you did.
My entry into World War One, I missed the, wasn't old enough for the 1917 draft. In the 1918 draft, I was old enough, and I registered. And along July, they wanted to put out a call for men for truck drivers. And I thought that was a good spot, and I was going to have to go in anyhow. So I signed up for it. There's 11 of us around here signed up for that. And that's, we got in the Army through that. If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't have never gotten in. But I was one of the last ones to go into the Army from Lawrenceburg.
Who were some of those other people that volunteered at the same time you did?
I can't think of all of them. I think that there's Gerster from Rising Sun, I know. Blink Fosnock, Joe Burnett, Joe Bechtel, Arlie Bearer, Earl Huffman. I know. Forget there. There's 11 of us on that one trip.
And you took training, and then from where? What'd you do?
Our training was at Winona Lake.
And after that, where did you?
From Winona Lake, we went to Indianapolis and discharged out of Indianapolis.
Did you do much truck driving then during that summer?
During that summer, we went to school 2 hours a day, learning about these trucks and the road rules. We had to learn the French road signs. We had to pass tests on what they taught us on these trucks so we could go on through. We'd done that 2 hours a day, and we'd done our regular Army training, Army drills, all of that. Anything that was done in the Army, we'd done. Our KP work, all that went right on in. The only difference was 2 hours a day, school work. Then we had to do a little driving practice.
How about the camps and the places where you were? Was there very much evidence of disease like flu and things like that?
Plenty, yes. Yes, I've spent a few nights in what do you call them?
Infirmary?
We would call them near the hospital.
The infirmary.
Infirmary, probably. Yes. I spent several nights there watching these sick boys. What I mean, they were sick. Out of their head, everything. Expect anything.
This was from the flu?
From
epidemic?
The flu, yes. That's the time the flu epidemic was at its highest. I was lucky. I never felt better in my life than I did through that flu epidemic.
What could they do for them?
For me?
For the flu patients.
I don't know. They had doctors there and nurses. Regular doctors and nurses. They did have doctors in the Army where I was, because I went to them once or twice there for just a checkup. Not that the Army wanted it, but I wanted it.
Okay. During that same period of time, there were a couple of amendments to the Constitution. One was prohibition. Do you know about that affecting very many people around you?
Yeah. The biggest joke ever.
Tell us about it.
I'll probably get arrested if
no,
I do.
No, not now.
Well, prohibition to me was a big joke. All it done, lowered the quality and raised the price. And every home was a tavern. If you meet anybody on the street, come on over home, let's have a drink. You hear that all the time. There's more drinking, more anything done, and it created all these gangsters, this hijacking. You never heard of it until Prohibition. And the whole thing to me was just a big joke. And I'll say this, that during Prohibition, I never had as much time in my life as I did during Prohibition, just going from one tavern, one joint to another. This Whitewater River up here, that whole line from Elizabethtown, as far up as you could go, all homebrew joints. Over here at where the Columbia Power Plant is, that road there, on in the North Bend, homebrew joints. I know because I visited them. And to me, it was terrible. These hijackers.
When you you say joints, were they taverns that were open?
Regular homes.
Just in the homes?
Yes, regular homes. Yeah. Houses. You go up, you go to East Town now and go up that Whitewater after Harrison. You see those houses all along there? They were all homebrew joints. They called them joints at that time.
But they sold it.
Sold it, yes. Mm-hmm.
But without a license.
Absolutely. You couldn't get a license.
No.
And moonshine, they'd just go any place, get moonshine. Any place.
Were there very many government raids on steel?
Once in a while you'd hear of it, once in a while. Comparatively speaking, I'd say none. The number of places that were selling it and the number of arrests they were made was very, very poor. I'd say 1%. Now, to me, it was the biggest joke ever. And it was really a lot of fun going from one place to another, just see people, and I was just at the right age for it. In my early 20s.
What about politics around here? Were most people in favor of backing Wilson and later on Harding? Was that a big...
I never fooled around much with politics. And I never had, really, I never had any sides, or a Democrat or Republican. When I went to the polls and voted, I voted for the man. As if I was going to hire him to work for me. If I was going to have a job to be done and I wanted someone to do it, I'd hire a man that I thought was fit for the job. And that's the way I'd done my politics. I voted for the man, regardless of politics. If I thought he was a good man and capable and able to do it, that's fine.
Were most people patriotic prior to World War I and during...
Oh, yes, yes, very much, very much. The American State Bank today, right before the war, that was a German-American bank. And during the war, it's changed to the American State.
Were there very many German descendants around here? Did they get it?
All German and Irish. I was raised with German and Irish people.
But they got along okay. The Germans got along okay.
Yeah, yeah. Even me, an Italian, I got along with all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I had no trouble with them. In fact, I was raised with them. Just come up with one of the boys. I've been in Lawrenceburg now, 91 years? I sure had to get along with somebody or I wouldn't be here. And I think today, I'm a member of the American Legion here, and I feel like I'm a very popular man here with that Legion. I feel that way, whether I am or not, I don't know. But I belong to that. I belong to RSVP in Aurora, AARP, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay, that's stuff. You know what I mean?
Go back just a little bit to entertainment during the late teens and 20s. What did you do for entertainment? Did you have dances or?
They had them, but I was never active in that. My entertainment was homebrew joints.
Okay. How about the coming of the radio in the 20s? Did that?
Radio, when the radio started out, they had batteries like you'd have in your automobile. And the radio itself was equal to, to a small kitchen cabinet. And big tubes and everything. That's the first radios I saw.
Did you spend a lot of time listening to them?
Occasionally. I never owned one. But other people would, and I would listen to it occasionally. And, well, around 1923, 1924, our main programs around here came from Pittsburgh. About that time, Crosley was coming in strong, started coming strong in Cincinnati. But I did, my first radio was one of Crosley's radios.
How about early movies?
Movies?
Yeah.
I'd go about once a week.
This was in the 20s? 1920s?
Yeah. In the 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. about once a week. Until when TV comes along, why, I had no more use for the movies. I could get there on TV. I can't see myself going to a movie now except giving them $8 or $10 to watch a movie when I got it here and said for nothing and see a better program.
Remember when you got the first telephone?
Yeah, I was living over in town then, and that's when we had that, when I was in that business. When I was in the produce, we had a telephone there.
Did most people have telephones put in their homes, say, in the late teens, 19s, or
yeah, early
20s?
In those days, it was a big box phone, about that high and about that wide and about that thick. And you had to crank to get the operator. Give the operator your numbers, and she dialed for you.
Okay, you knew a lot of businesses around Lawrenceburg. What were some of the businesses in the Lawrenceburg, or well, the Dearborn County area that you remember? What did they make? And
well, the flour mill down on High Street, which now is just a matter of handling grain, the way I see it, but they made flour. A regular flour mill, that's one. Across the street from that is coffin factory. Made coffins. And then they had the James and Marr buggy factory. They made buggies or carriages, as you would call it. And that veneer works over in that end of Lawrenceburg. I'm pretty sure that was there when I was a kid. And Olin Bishop Salt Factory. And we had three distilleries. That's Rossville, owned by O'Shaughnessy's. Squibb Distillery, owned by the Squibb family. And one Greendale Distillery was next to this Rossville Distillery. I think it was owned by the Rodenbergs. It had the three distilleries. Then the Greendale Distillery and Rossville Distillery, they were side by side. You couldn't see anybody driving by. I think it was just one. It was just one, but there were two distilleries there.
Did they operate in the 1920s? Did they make some kind of alcohol?
I don't think they did. They made... Yes. Yes, they were making alcohol, because I was hauling. When I was buying produce, I was hauling their whiskey to Cincinnati. I even, between Indiana went dry a year before Ohio did. We could haul whiskey from here, or alcohol from here to Cincinnati, and ship it, but they couldn't ship it here by rail. I was hauling their stuff to Cincinnati to the railroad yards, and I recalled some of their different factories. I can't think of the name right now, where I hauled out all these people. See, I was hauling a load in, and then I'd get a hold of the produce and come back and sell it, and I just kept it going.
Remember any other activities like in this area, like the Ku Klux Klan. Were they active around here?
I couldn't tell you much about that. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I was never a member of it, and I don't know a thing about them. Nothing.
How about local fire and police protection? Can you tell us anything about that, say, up to about 1930, in the 1930s?
Well, I worked with these people as a dispatcher. As a dispatcher with Greendale Police. Okay. From 1960 to 1975. Turn that over, I'll tell you there who the different ones are.
Yeah, I see it right here. Okay, yeah, it's got them right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Did they have very good protection, say, in the 1920s and 30s? Was it very good fire protection, police protection?
Oh, yeah, same as we've got now. Only at that time we only had the one policeman. Today they've got four or five.
What's this American Legion camp you said built and abandoned?
It's out here on the creek. And the property belongs to Lloyd Vogel now. You know Lloyd Vogel?
Uh-huh.
You can ask him about that property. You can ask him about this. They put that up 1 year and then abandoned it.
Is the building still there?
I was talking to a lawyer not too long ago, and he said that building is just gone about, rotted out.
Is that close to Nowlin Avenue?
We went out Nowlin Avenue and cut through that farm over to the creek. You know where this subdivision is over here by the underpass?
Yes.
We went through there back to the creek, along there somewhere.
Okay, this is a picture of the American Legion post.
That's the American Legion post on High Street, and that is the color guard. No. Yeah, that's the color guard at that time. Yeah, that's the color guard at that time. That's before War II.
Okay.
Got any names on that?
Yes, their names are on here. These are the people you were naming earlier in the tape, many of them.
That was taken, I'll say, around 1925, 26.
Did the beginning of the Depression in 1929, did that affect a lot of people that you knew around here? Say, from 1929 to 1933, what were working conditions like?
At that time, I had the paper route. I don't know about.
Did it affect customers? Did many of them?
I had no trouble. I had no trouble collecting. Only there's some people outright deadbeats. They wouldn't pay if they had $1 million in their pocket. They wouldn't pay you. But I had no trouble.
People still kept taking the paper.
Oh, yes.
As long as they could.
Yes. My circulation was very good up to the flood. The flood hit, it went down, and I couldn't build it back up. So I got out. The price of the paper went up, my percentage went down. So I decided to give it up.
Did a lot of people move out of Lawrenceburg after the 37 flood?
I can't recall any of that.
They rebuild back where they were.
Yes, yes.
A lot of them rebuild back in there.
You see down in downtown are new homes.
Okay. What about other things like county fairs and gatherings like that. Remember anything about those?
Yeah. At the county fair, I remember it when I was a kid. The county fair has been the same fair all the time. To my eyes, I couldn't see any difference in it. All a bunch of stands and everybody trying to make a dime. When I was a kid, the fair was over by the Veneer Works. Over, go out Center Street and cross, go to the top of the railroad track and go down into the fairground. They had a gate there, and as a kid I can recall, I go there and people wouldn't let you in unless you paid. And nobody was looking, I'd give it a run. So I can remember that. And when the Legion took over, they still had the fairground in that spot. And I'd go there and work. They had their high romulus, or high, they called it. I'd help out with that. Maybe I'd be at the gate collecting tickets.
This is Earl Mann. This is the end of the tape on Lawrence Scaletti.
One time,